Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Nkole.
Afternoon, how are you, my leader?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
I am great, not knowing about you.
No, can't complain at all, man. All is good, and God is still good as well. We are talking to you today from a VOP lesson, a study. The Christian Church in conflict with Satan. Now, we learnt in our previous lesson that Christ's victory was sealed on the cross, and his death gave the Christian Church the power to defeat the evil one. Now, I want to understand what that means today. So, Pastor, please give us a summary of what is in this lesson, and what is this conflict all about? How did the church become involved, and humanity in general?
Okay, before we begin, we'll just have a short prayer. We are praying.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus. You love us. I want to ask that as we are learning about the Christian church with Satan, may we learn things that can help us to grow spiritually and be aware of what happens in this world. Talking about the Christian church in conflict with Satan, one thing we'll come to discover and agree is that the death of Jesus Christ on the cross gave the Christian church the power to defeat Satan.
Yes.
Because when you read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, there's something profound that the Bible says. The Bible says, and they. Now, they refers to the Christian church. And it says, and they overcame him. Who is the him in this context? It is Satan. And they overcame him by what? Because in order for you to overcome something, you need to have a power that is guiding you, a power that is giving you that authority and energy you need to overcome. So the Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. The Bible just tells us how the Christian church, which was in conflict with Satan, overcame. It emphasizes to say, in order for us to overcome, we need to be guided by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of God, meaning we need to feed daily on the word of God. I just want to say something to say.
Yep.
As a Christian, through the Holy Spirit, Christ is now able to give his power to us as members of his church. What is Christ saying? There are some who look to be members, but they are not members of the Christian church. And hence, when they are defeated by Satan, they say, we pray to God, but God does not give us the power to do the same. But God does not give us the power to do the same. God, we are learning in our lesson today to say, in order for someone to have the power, they need to be members of Christ's church, those who follow God and do what he wants. Just like Jesus decisively triumphed over Satan at the cross, he now continues to triumph over Satan through his church, because his church, they have the Holy Spirit. Before we go to the three characteristics that mark the triumphant church during the passing centuries of the Christian era, is there any question on what, on where we have reached so far?
No. So far, we are following Pastor. Excited indeed. You can go ahead to those characteristics.
Okay. When you're looking at the Christian church in conflict with Satan, one thing you come to discover is that right now, as believers, we are in a conflict between good and evil, in a conflict between Christ and Satan, a conflict that we are not exempted from. So what are some of the three characteristics that marked the triumphant church during the passing centuries of the Christian era? Number one thing you will discover is that, as we have read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, number one, the first sentence says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb.
Mm.
Jesus went back to heaven after his resurrection, meaning Jesus was caught up with God and his throne.
Mm.
And when Jesus when Jesus was resurrected and went to heaven, we are told to say he began his ministry in the heavenly sanctuary, which we started in the guide 12 for those who are following.
Mm, mm, mm.
And it is the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary for Jesus that clears the record of our sins and gives us eternal life, just like John chapter 1 verse 7 confirms. Here we learn to say the life-giving blood of a risen Savior also gives us the power to live the Christian life day by day.
Mm.
Just like in 1 Peter, for reference sake, chapter 1, verse 18 to 20. And for a full explanation of the meaning of Christ's blood, you can read the guide 12, which we have been talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, you will come to discover to say the number one characteristic that marked the triumphant church during the passing centuries of the Christian era, we talked about to say they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Number two, we are told to say they did not love their lives to death. This is interesting because the blood of the Lamb made these Christians willing to die for Christ's sake. There are some of us who say, I love Jesus. But these brothers and sisters of ours, they died for the cause of God.
Mm.
They did not love their lives to the death because they knew to say, even when I die, I have not died in vain. In fact, dying for the sake of Christ is gaining more in the kingdom of God. And the impact of the cross enabled the Christian martyrs to retain a sense of mission in the face of adversity, and where we see God had suffered greatly, so they were willing to suffer for him.
Yeah.
What are we saying, brothers and sisters, today, those of us who are listening to us? Every children made the ultimate sacrifice just for the cause of the gospel.
Mm.
A story is told of a Christian mother who was thrown to the lions in the Roman arena because she gave her ultimate allegiance to Christ and not to the state. A young daughter had to look on the cruel scene. But instead of slinking back in horror and fear, she felt a fervent devotion welling up inside her heart, because she believed that even when my mother is being punished, my mother is dying for the cause of the truth.
Mm.
As the lion attacked the mother, she stood up and cried, I am a Christian, not defeated because of how the lions were eating her mother, but she was comforted because the mother died for a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
The Roman officers arrested her on the spot, and they also gave her to the angry beasts. But this child died for the cause of the truth.
Yeah.
We are told also of Tutorion, a forefather and a Christian writer, a church leader in the second century. He said these profound words. He said, the working of such love puts a brand upon us.
Mm.
For see, say the heathen, how they love one another and are ready to lay down their lives for each other. What Tutorion is saying is that, you see, some of these people who are not even Christians, they can fight for their fellow neighbors more than even us Christians do. Why can't we do much more than they can? Christians today who keep biblical truth in the face of death are an inspiring example to the others. Here is an example of the account of an order of certain believers who insisted on practicing baptism by immersion as taught in the scriptures. The Bible tells us, before we even conclude, as we are moving forward, in 1160, a company of Porishans who were called Baptists entered Oxford. Henley II ordered them to be branded on the forehead with hot irons, publicly whipped them through the streets of the city to have their garments cut short in the grandals and be turned into the open country. The villagers were not to afford them any shelter or food. This is a true story. And they perished a lingering death from cold and hunger. The reference is James M. Airy and later Nonconformity in Oxford, page 12. What we are learning is, you see, when you find something to die for, you have nothing to fear, because even when you die, you are dying for a cause that satisfies your soul. Number three characteristic that we are learning is that they overcame.
Yeah.
Like we said, they overcame who? That is Satan. By the word of their testimony. You see, the word of their testimony is not only their words, no, but the testimony, the example of their lives. By living witness to the power of Jesus and his gospel during the darkest hours of the Christian era, a whole army of Christians, from the early church fathers to the Protestant reformers, overcame the worstest, and they overcame the deadliest snares of the devil, those which could drift them away from Christ himself. Now, since Satan failed to destroy the Son of God when he lived on earth in the flesh, he now seeks to destroy the Christian church. Satan knows to say he was defeated on the cross.
Yeah.
And he knows to say, I should follow now these people who are following Christ Jesus. Meaning, if you want to be a defeater, if you want to overcome Satan, you need to have Jesus in your life, because he has already conquered the devil.
Correct.
The church received both encouragement and warning. The Bible tells us to say in Revelation chapter 12, verse 13 to 16, now when the dragon saw he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman representing the church who gave birth to a male child. But the woman who is God's church was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the desert to a place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent swelled water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had poured from his mouth. Even in this prophecy, we learn something that is profound. The woman is being pursued by the devil, which is, in this context, is the dragon. But regardless of how the devil is pursuing her, we are learning to say God is still protecting her, the church, the woman himself. This is why today we still have the church still standing, because God has been with the church from Genesis to Revelation. We are learning to say, just as predicted during the dark ages of the Christian era, beginning around 500 AD and lasting more than 1,000 years, Satan sent a flood of persecution to sweep away the church of God. This is the spiritual warfare that they were in and that we are in even right now.
Yeah.
Satan wants to destroy Christ's influence by wiping out the church. And he uses every trick his evil genius mind can do. We are learning to say the church of God comprises of people who believe in him, those who follow his commandments when you read Revelation. And that is what the devil is after, those who worship Christ in truth and in spirit. As we have read in Revelation chapter 12, the dragon represents the devil primarily. But remember that in his role as the dragon, Satan uses human institutions to attack God's people. He used a Roman king, Herod, in an attempt to murder Christ, the child, as soon as he was born. Satan also worked through Christ's jealous religious revivals in order to broke Jesus' mission. And finally, he secured Christ's execution on the cross. But Satan's apparent victory turned against Christ Jesus himself. Against Christ Jesus himself will not turn out to be okay if you are planning that which is evil, because he is God who is all-knowing. We are learning to say Christ defeated. Is there any question maybe where we have reached?
No, there is no question. And I think you've attended to the question as to why is the devil so determined to destroy the church. And I think you've answered this one. So all in all, as you wrap up, what does this lesson teach us about the conflict between good and evil in closing?
Okay. Good and evil has existed from Genesis to Revelation, or ever since the world was created.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan is on a mission to make sure that he works in disguise to cause God's people to fall. This is why you discover that those people who do not pay particular attention to what is happening in the Christian realm and the conflict that is happening between Satan and Christ Jesus, the conflict that Satan is trying to bring in order to win God's people to himself so that they perish, most people don't understand, even inside the church. So conflicts arise, persecution arise, adultery arises, and many evil things, they arise. But in order for a child of God to discern that this is not right, they need to have Christ Jesus who defeated, and Christ who guide them and show them things that they are supposed to see and know in order for them to be protected.
Beautiful.
That's what a child of God needs.
Yes.
At the uttermost, the child of God needs the Holy Spirit of God. He or she will be able to defeat the Satan who is against him.
Well, but that's a fantastic lesson, my pastor. I think we'll connect with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place. But for today, I must appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you, my leader. Have a blessed time, even as we meet tomorrow.
Lovely. Have a blessed one too.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.